Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, everything's back east this week, with George joining us from the announcer's home port in Miami, Florida. George and Doug will welcome another great Floridian, voice talent and founder of the VoiceOver Universe. Our guest is Zurich.
And I'll have my report from down here in Fort Myers, Florida, where I'm attending the VoiceOver Mastery event presented by Randy Thomas.
And in my tip of the week, I'll go over how everyone seems to overthink this whole home recording thing.
And please send in your questions. We really want to answer them. Send them to ewabshop@gmail.com.
That's East West Audio Body Shop, 9 o'clock in the East,
6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room. We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the West.
And I'm George Whittam in the East.
And together we are East West. Audio Body Shop. Well, guess what? The reason I say that is because I'm actually farther west than George tonight, who is on the east coast of South Florida.
That's right. I'm here at Doug Turkel's, who graciously allowed us to host the show from our show tonight. And because we're in South Florida, we were able to get a South Florida resident to be a guest on the show tonight in person. So we have Zurich coming in tonight.
Outstanding. Yeah. Really, we got lots of other great stuff too. And, you know, we have a little bit of news that we've come up with here, and a couple of questions from you folks, and a tip of the week on, overthinking it or don't
overthinking it
the entire process of recording voiceover.
Sometimes I overthink it. And sometimes, like today, I underthink it, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes like it feels sometimes. Like I underthink it. Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway. I'm really glad we pulled off. We're here. We're making it happen. And it's going to be a great show.
Yeah. We're actually using 4 tin cans in the string tonight. Because
4 tin cans?
Yeah. I mean, usually it's 2 tin cans and a string and 2 geeks. But right now you're like sending the signal back to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And it's actually broadcasting remote from Santa Monica, even though you're 3,000 miles from there. This is absolutely amazing.
We're both remoting tonight. We're both remote. Well, right. You're at home, but I'm remoting, and then I'm remote controlling my studio computer. Anyway, you guys don't care about this stuff. You just want to hear from Zurich, so.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get him on in a second. But,
you
know, I did it.
So,
yes. We have no idea where we're going, because we're going to go with Zurich first. Why don't we just bring him on and
I know.
Get
him on here.
All right. Just turn the camera, and let's welcome Zurich to East, once again to East West Audio Body Shop.
Which camera am I looking at? This
the only
or that
one we have, that one right
yeah,
there.
You got to get a little bit tighter, a little bit, a little bit more.
Never been as close to George before.
Closer, closer. Yeah. Get any closer, I'll be behind you. Anyway, right. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Now you good. Were, and we really appreciate you coming down from up north. Sort of from Wellington. You live in Wellington, right?
Well, actually, I live in Sunny Isles now.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
Tell us more, my friend.
Yeah, Sunny Isles is it's about what, 20 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
North?
It's northeast, right off Collins.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 blocks away from the Atlantic.
Don't be too specific.
Yeah,
you don't be
yeah really.
Well,
yeah. And the address is?
You got to find thousands of others.
Well, it's great to have you back on. What you been up to since, you know, you were on about 2 years ago. What have you been up to since?
Well, Well, you know, when you guys found me, I was, of course, I was in Wellington at the time.
Yeah.
And I had kind of escaped Miami because I was here working radio, and I was off for 9 years. And just about a year and a half ago, I'm back in radio now. So I'm doing afternoons. Works. Yeah, doing afternoons at actually the station I worked at like 24 years ago.
No way.
Yeah.
So you never yeah. burn a bridge
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. They let you back in. Wow.
They let me back in. Right.
that's a rare occurrence in the business. But and you're still doing lots of voiceover work, or we're just sort of sticking to the radio thing.
No. I'm still doing voiceover. I mean, that's going to be my first love. I mean, it's not a hobby. It's real life. It's life. But it's changed. My times are now from wake up, whatever time I wake up until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Those are my windows. And then my air shift is at 3 o'clock. So, you know, maybe after that I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. you know, just kind of, you know, because by then the voice is just totally spent.
Yeah, you know? Really. Yeah. Not do you do a production shift in there too?
No production at all.
No production at all.
But the beauty about it is that I'm also the voice of we have three stations, you know, four stations owned by Cox Media Group, whom I'm with, and I'm actually the voice of the hip hop station there, but I'm with the adult station, which is on third floor, and the other station's on the second. So,
okay.
You know, yeah. Well, let me ask you something, since you bring this up. This is quite fascinating. As a former radio person myself, since you took time off from radio and really worked voiceover very specifically for a good period of time, did it change your perspective on doing radio or how you do stuff on the air?
It actually helped me a lot. I mean, with reading script, because when you're a radio personality, you think that you're automatically a voice, you know, a voiceover talent.
And nothing could be farther from the truth.
Exactly. But now when I read script, you know, I use everything I've learned from the past years, you know, now. So it just, and it helps with my on-air delivery. So it's amazing the things that I've learned in the world of voiceover.
One of our dear friends and a regular on the show, John Taylor.
Yeah.
You know John Taylor?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's great hearing your story, because he kind of did the same thing. Man. Yeah. He went from radio to voiceover.
Yeah.
Now he's doing radio, except he's doing 6 a.m. shift.
Oh, wow.
And he gets up at 3 a.m. so he can get the jump on the voice and get a fresh voice.
Oh, wow.
And then do his air shift. Can you imagine, man?
Yeah.
It's like a whole flip-flop.
Yeah. By 2 in the afternoon, he starts hallucinating. So
I understand. In fact, when I left radio, I was working in New York City doing the morning show. I was the morning show host there. So. And I feel for John.
Yeah, you know that I've done that morning show thing. You get to 3 in the afternoon, and it's like, huh? You start seeing things running across the desk, and it's kind of weird.
Exactly.
But that could have been from some other stuff. Who knows? But this weekend you were with George over in was it in Tampa?
Yeah, no, we were in Fort Myers.
Fort Myers, okay, same coast.
Yeah.
It was in Fort Myers. Now it was the
not too far from Tampa, right?
Right. It was the Randy Thomas voice mastery thing.
Okay. Yeah.
What was that all about? And what were you doing there?
It was really just a great event for people to refamiliarize yourself with voiceover. I mean, we learned so much, even for newcomers. I mean, you learn some, and for those of us to kind of get familiar and get refreshers, you know, if you will. Not only that, I had the opportunity to lead the workout session of it every morning, where we saw
physical workout.
Yeah, physical. George, did you come the second day?
No,
George didn't come the second day.
Toast, man. The first day did me in.
Yeah, it was really, for me, it was a great family reunion, if anything. Yeah.
You saw a lot of friends. We all saw a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of friends, yeah. I'll tell you, Randy put that. What, Dan? Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, do some name dropping.
Okay.
It makes it more fun.
Chris Corley.
Cipriano.
Joe Cipriano was there. Ooh. Melissa Disney.
Yeah, Melissa was there as well. Of course, Randy Thomas.
Randy Thomas was there the whole time.
Names like Jay DeLay and Jeffrey Umberger.
Jeffrey Umberger. Yeah.
The agent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jay was hilarious.
Can't forget the. Doug Turkell, the Doug announcer. Turkell. We're at his home right now, so we cannot forget him.
I know, that would be bad play, bad form. But yeah, Jay DeLay, man, like, he was. They did a reading to children from the community at the end of the event, which was really a really cool thing to do. And different voice actors came up on stage and read from children's books. Mm-hmm. And then Jay came out. Oh, he was trying to keep the kids entertained a little while we're getting it together. And he just started switching into this voice, Bobby. He called it Bobby. It was kind of like, like an Elmo a little
hey,
bit.
Hey, man, I'm little Bobby.
He had the kids totally enraptured and entertained. It was really fun to watch. And we also had Edge Studios. David Goldberg was there. And Graham Spicer and me, all of us did presentations there. And it was just a really interesting, different kind of a flavor event, but very intimate. It's probably the smallest, most intimate event like that I've been to as well.
How many people were there?
I think about 65, 70 was the attendee list. And, you know, we have to remember that she conceived of this event 2.5 months before the date it went on.
Absolutely.
And she had a two and a half month lead to conceive of it, find the organizer, and Denise
Chamberlain
helped in the production work.
Yeah.
She did a fantastic job.
She's very good at that.
She is. It all came together in about 2 months.
Yeah.
And considering that, it ran really well.
And I would say with the amount of people, it didn't feel like a small crowd. It really felt like a professional, intimate crowd. And I looked around and the first thing I said was, wow, you know, Randy pulled this off. It was just really amazing. Just knowing where Fort Myers is on the map, you know, that people actually came to, you know, even one talent, Keisha Monk, who is a stage 4 cancer survivor. Mm. You know, she was even there. And I told her about this maybe 3 days prior. And she says, I'm coming. And she was there.
We had that great group photo of all the Floridians that were there. And it was probably maybe a third of the crowd, maybe.
Yeah.
Everybody else came from quite a bit further away.
Yeah. In fact, Jay and those guys, they all joke. Dan Friedman, too.
Yeah, Dan Friedman. So it was Dan, Jay, Jeffrey Umberger, and Gerald Griffin, producer of the VO Atlanta thing.
Yeah,
they all drove down in a big Suburban together. It was cool.
That was probably a fun drive.
Yeah.
What was the actual focus of the event? What was it that Randy wanted to accomplish? You know, what was the overall mission there?
She was going for a more kind of giving back was the theme, I recall. You know, and so it was, that was the theme. But, you know, when it came down to it, just we were trying to bring maximum value to everything that we were doing in regards to what we were teaching. That's how I think we were really giving back.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, you know, they had the morning event for the children, the reading for the kids. And, you know, Joe's big on that. And something that Chris said that, you know, kind of stayed with me, I think they asked the question, is there anything else you want to do? And, or Chris said, you know, he doesn't really feel like he's the master of anything.
Chris Corley.
Yeah. Chris Corley. Yeah. He says, I don't feel like I've mastered it yet because you never can stop learning in this business. There's always something new for you to learn.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think that when you start feeling like you've mastered something, then people start to pass you, right?
Because, exactly.
Or people continue advancing and you may start to kind of lay back a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody, no matter what stage of their career in, can stop learning, right?
Right.
Stop, stop receiving new coaching.
Yeah. If you're not learning, check your pulse.
Right.
I think that's the best way to put that. Yeah. Now, you know, moving on from that a little bit. Now, one of the things that everybody knows you from was you were the founder of VoiceOver Universe, which was
I am the founder.
Yeah, you are the founder.
Yes.
Don't want to diminish your role at all. I mean, you've been well recognized with that Community Service Award, which I know you're very proud of. And how is that going? And well, how did you? First off, that was quite a while ago when we start to think about it. I mean, it was the first social media site for VoiceOver.
It was the beginning of the social media wave.
Yeah,
it really was.
It was, you know, I've told the story lots of times. I was severely overweight. a list of things going on. I was given a CPAP machine to help me breathe at night. And that thing just brought life to me, my body and my brain. So I'd wake up in the middle of the night with ideas. And that was one. And I don't know how I found the social networking site that hosts these type of platforms. And the day after, I invited people like, once I set up the site, I invited people like Joe Cipriano, who I'd known, and Rodney Salisbury, and met Penny, and even Don LaFontaine. And just a trove of people came after that.
Everybody went right in there.
Everyone.
No hesitation.
Randy, John Gary, Don LaFontaine. The list goes on.
Bo Weaver.
Everybody's there. I don't want to not miss any, but everyone who's...
You're going to miss some. There's only
We don't have Ashton. Ashton never joined.
No, Ashton.
Ashton Smith, nor Ashton. Chris Corley. Chris is Chris is all over Facebook. He's a great guy. I think Chris does it, you know.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy, you know.
There is like 9,000. No,
it's about 7,500.
7,500, yeah. So you're not going to name everybody.
How
is it? I mean, I've been curious about how it's evolved. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I mean, I focused my attention to Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
Is there still a thriving community happening on VoiceOver Universe?
Well, the people that were there in the beginning, probably not. Mm-hmm. You know, because everyone's shift to Facebook, but there's always a wave of new people, you know, coming around. And it's new to them. So they keep it alive because they're able to post their photos, their demos, and blog.
That's cool. So it keeps sort of just, I don't know if you say evolving, but it's like keeps refreshing.
Exactly.
As more people come on. And there's a lot of content, like catalog on the site.
Yeah.
So they're still getting a lot out of the site.
Absolutely. You press search and almost anything you're looking for in the voiceover industry, right in this the search engine, it's there. So
that's great, man. I'm glad to hear it. Is it costing you anything to keep that site alive?
About $400 a month, but then there's a subscription. You have to subscribe now. So
yeah,
I'm not paying for it anymore.
No, is it paying for itself?
Of course.
That's good.
Pays for itself.
This show pays for itself too. That's important, you know.
That's right. But,
I'm glad to hear it's turning and moving forward. That's really encouraging. Right.
Well, we've got a couple of questions from our studio audience. Okay. Not our studio. Our studio. All of America is our studio.
Let's do a break real quick and get back.
Yeah, we'll do a break. We'll get back to some of those questions right here on East West Audio Body Shop. We'll be right back with Zurich.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow! Snails like it too.
Welcome back to EWABS. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
And we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. George, down in South Florida with Zurich, and we've been talking about the Randy Thomas Voice Mastery event that took place over the weekend. And now we're going to take some of your questions. If you have a question, you know, just put it in the chat room. And our fine chat room monitor, Mr. Anthony Gettig, will get it to us here. And, of course, Anthony, of course, leads off with his question since he's monitoring the chat room.
Well, he should.
Well, absolutely. He deserves it.
He asks, what's your studio setup these days?
Quite honestly, I have this 416 microphone I'm speaking on now. What is it?
Are you using a Focusrite?
No, Oh my gosh, I forget the name of it.
I'll keep rattling off names.
Pro Tools.
Oh, the M-Box?
M-Box Mini 3.
Yeah. M-Box 3 Mini, right. The gray and black
one. Yeah, I'm using that. Yeah. So the M-Box 3 Mini and, of course, my MacBook Pro. Yeah, and a bunch of plugins.
Right, you do it all in the box.
Yeah, it's all in the box. I don't have all of the crazy outboard stuff anymore. And everything that I use goes right into my backpack. So I take it to my radio show with me and or in the car if I need to do it, you know, or wherever.
Yeah. So your whole chain is that simple. But now you get to travel. Now you always have it. You never have to worry about, I need it.
Exactly. And now, and I know, George, I mean, you're always a step ahead of the game. I mean, you've got these cool apps and you could do stuff with. I've got the, of course, Twisted Wave on
Your iPhone, yeah.
I've got the Rode and
Rode Recorder,
the DAW multi-track.
Oh, yeah, I haven't played with that one yet.
Yeah, so those are some, you know, it has a nice little compressor and stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Have you recorded some stuff right to your iPhone?
I have, yeah, and it works.
It's a miniature iPad is what it is. Yeah. So, I mean, you can get away as long as you've got the interface to plug in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you can't do it without yourself. You know, you can't do it without the, you know, without the help of George here. Yeah.
Ralph.
George and Dan, that's it, guys. I mean, I don't know. You're gonna be lost. Don't try.
You don't need to do that.
Don't try this at
you
home.
You don't need to plug us.
Yeah.
Dude, that's really nice. Right.
All righty. Well, I'm glad you're keeping it simple because that's what we tell people to do. The one and only Shelley Avellino, hailing from Albuquerque, New Mexico, asks, Zurich, since she's talking to you, do you do any improv? And if so, do you think it's helped your performance? And if not, do you think it's something every voice actor should try to do?
I believe it. I don't do improv, but I've actually had an acting coach, and I think it's great for it. And I wouldn't say it's something that every voice actor should do unless you're going to go into the world of commercial voiceover where you have to act. So what, are you going to be a promo guy or narrator? Maybe not, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just finished a show myself and it wasn't improv. It was a musical, and we'll talk about that in a little bit later on in the show. The one and only Paul Straquerda, who we haven't heard from in a while. Where you been, Paul? He asks, sort of relating back to what we were talking about before with VoiceOver Universe, with so many VoiceOver Facebook groups, how do you see the role of VoiceOver Universe?
Well, it's only on VoiceOver Universe where you can still post your demos and post your videos, and you can't do that on Facebook in a VoiceOver group, at least not have your own page. So it still holds its weight. I mean, it's new for, you know, people who are really coming into the world of voiceover. So yeah, it gives you your own web page.
So if you're coming right in and you haven't had the opportunity to build a site from scratch yet, you can immediately build a profile on there.
Absolutely.
And that's a public profile.
Send out. I mean, you can get your own URL and actually point it to your page. It can be your own splash page, your own website.
That's true. Has anyone ever said that they actually got a gig from being on VoiceOver Universe, that perhaps they did some networking there? And
oh yeah, many people have gotten. I mean, you know, over the last 4 years it's been around, lots of people have gotten gigs. In fact, 6 years now, right? I don't know.
It seems longer than that. It was at the first wave of this social media stuff.
Yeah, so it's been 6 years. I can say, John Bailey, you guys are familiar with John.
Yep. Oh, yes.
I invited John to VoiceOver Universe when John was just a guy playing around on YouTube, posting these cool little movie trailer videos, you know, and I invited him to VoiceOver Universe and he met some great people.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. John Bailey is now one of the top movie trailer voices.
Yeah. I know. We yeah. had him on the show recently. Yeah. And I just.
Did he fail to mention that?
He certainly did.
No.
But he I did. We met him at the voice conference
right. in Anaheim, LA. Yeah.
And he was, well, first of all, really funny.
Right.
The dude's really hilarious. Yeah. And then we had him on the show, and I was just blown away with the route he took to where he is now.
Right.
And that it came out of nobody's an overnight success, but he's close to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
had quite a relatively short path to doing trailers. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
There's another guy. I can't remember the last name, but it's Piot something.
Piot, yeah.
You know,
Volchik? Is it Volchik or something like that?
Yeah,
Volchik.
Piot's another guy I invited to VoiceOver Universe years ago when he was on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he, from there, I think he was living in Hawaii. And through his connections through VoiceOver Universe, he became, I think, a host or just a regular on Game Show Network, something weird like that.
But, yeah, he's had some real success lately.
Yeah.
John Taylor's a good friend of his too, actually.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
All righty. All right. So, let's see here. David Banal has a couple of geeky questions. We'll call them that. Yes. First, what are your favorite plugins that you're using since you're working with Pro Tools?
My favorite, I like Waves. Waves is really the favorite. That I don't play around with anything else but Waves. It has everything I need, from the compressor to any type of noise gate, equalizer. It's all there. Waves.
Do you like the L2
maximizer? Yeah, the L2 maximizer, the C1, and some other things.
Do you delve into the multi-band compressor, because those can get way out of
hand. Yeah, I don't do that.
Presets. Use the presets.
Right. Okay. Every time I load one of those, I go, oh my gosh, right. This is getting out of control.
Yeah, you can go totally nuts with those. And then he asks, and I think I probably know the answer, what iOS interface are you using to do the recording when you're using your iPhone? Just your iPhone?
Yeah, just my iPhone. I use my I don't use an interface. No, I just use the Rode
the iRig?
Yeah, I use the iRig into the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With your 416?
With my 416.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Or the this other little piece I have.
There's so many little gadgets, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's I know the ones that work well, the iRig Pro.
Okay.
The iTrack Solo, which we're actually using as part of our rig tonight, is a good iPhone device too. But the thing about these, you have to plug them into a power source.
Oh, okay.
So they're not totally cordless.
Gotcha.
And the iRig Pro has a battery in it, so it really is truly portable. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel Anthony Gonzalez asks, let's see if I can get what he's asking here. When did you decide it was time to uproot to follow the work, like decide that you were ready to uproot? Where were you from originally, and have you been following the voice work or the radio work all around, or what?
Well, for me, Chicago's home. I've been in radio for nearly 30 years, and the funny thing is, I was doing voiceover all along and didn't realize it. I've had these production houses call me in to do a Coca-Cola commercial or a narration for Game Pro Television. And they were like long form narrations. I had no idea that this was called voiceover at the time. I'd done it for so many people. And the radio station was a union station. So I had no idea. But it was only when I kind of slowed down in radio in 2005 it was that I really just went full force into voiceover. I kind of played around with voicing radio stations as a radio promo voice, but it was in 2005 that I said, okay, this is what I want to do, and only this. Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, Zurich, it is fabulous that you could join us. Hang around for a little while. You know, we may need to call you back in here, but we're It's always great to see you. I remember we've run into each other a couple of times when I get into South Florida every now and again, when I have to go visit my mother-in-law.
Zurich also
you have to, right?
Zurich brought somebody else with him tonight. Would you like to say
yes. Would you like to introduce your
my significant other here? Come in, darling. I call her Zsa Zsa because her name is Georgia.
Let me tilt it up.
Here you come down.
Join us.
Sit on my lap.
Get cozy.
Oh, no, that'll be much better. Yeah, there you go.
If he gets tired, he can sit on my lap.
We were recently engaged on September 11th, which is a sad day for most, and I proposed to her live on the air on that show.
Man,
she does a legal segment. She's an attorney here in South Florida.
And, really?
Yeah. Yes. So we were doing this segment, and it was my sister who was actually on the other line asking a question, as callers do. We need legal help.
Yeah.
And one of the questions she asked was, well, how do you know if you really love someone? Because this person wanted to end the child support case that she had. Mm. And she goes, well, the first thing, tell them what you said.
Well, I said, when you know, you know. I didn't understand the question, but I said, oh my God, I got to go there. But when you know, you know. And when I knew, I knew.
Yeah, and when she said that, I walked around and I gave her the ring, so... Yeah. She's screaming. Give us a scream.
that's a gorgeous accent you have. Where are you from originally?
He said, where are you from originally?
Oh, Haiti.
Haiti. Oh, okay. I was trying to figure a little bit of French in there, a little bit of Creole. Yeah. Okay, now I got it right.
I think she speaks, do you speak better French than Creole?
Yes. Actually, equally. I speak both of them all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a cool accent.
So yeah, we have fun though. Actually, we actually tape a lot of short videos in the car. They're pretty funny. I don't know if you caught them yet.
Yeah, I've seen one of them. Yeah.
So we have some fun with that.
Do you set up the camera on a little mount on the window?
Yeah, have a little mount in the window.
I did that when I was I'll put it up online, but I did that when I was picking up David and then Graham and then Melissa. At the airport in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
They all came in about 10 minutes apart.
Okay.
So I picked each one of them up and I had the camera going on the dash, right. You know, like this. And I was like, it's comedians and cars getting coffee, you know?
And then we have that little app, iMovie.
Oh, yeah.
On the iPhone 6. And you could pan in, you can zoom on whatever you want to. And it's so cool. It gives the multi camera effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We do that at home when I'm sitting at my real computer. I switch back and forth on tight shots, but I'm not trying to do that here.
Right.
Oh, there was one other thing I failed to mention. You recently interviewed the president, did you not?
I did, President Obama. Yeah.
How did that come to be, man?
Well, of course, it was Governor Rick Scott and Charlie Crist. They were, it was their time and. We were really trying to urge voters to get out.
Yeah.
And, that was that. That's what the president was really doing. It wasn't to really check on me.
Right.
In fact, all of the stuff that you guys heard, that was cut out. We didn't mention.
Oh, that was all B-roll kind of thing.
Yeah, because the next day, the guy that he was, that he was campaigning for lost. So it's like, So we just made it a fun interview with the president.
And he gave you carte blanche and said, you can use anything you want. Or
I could because that was what the interview was.
Oh, that's cool.
So we had fun and he called, I challenged him in a game of basketball and he goes, all your brothers I talk to, you think you can play basketball, you're probably a buster, He called me a buster,
Oh, man.
He's pretty confident. Yeah.
Is he good?
Cool, he's okay. He's okay. For an old guy, he's not bad.
Well, I'll tell you, when you ask someone if you'll marry them or her on the radio live, you must be pretty confident. She's going to say yes.
Yeah.
You got to be really confident. That's nice, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for letting him come.
Yeah, really.
And thank you for coming out here and hanging out and waiting for us.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I,
I, you know, if I, you know, I just got off air, so I'm a little tired, but I really appreciate you guys for taking the time to, you know, hang out and check us out.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, thanks for being with us.
Take care.
All righty. Zurich joining us from Miami, Florida. And we got lots more that we usually have on this show in the first part of the show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. Do not go away.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
Now back to EWAVS. Thank Dan and George's wives. For what? You have no idea. Now, here's Dan and George.
Hey, honey, let's go grab a bite to eat.
I can't. I'm, busy.
Are you hiding something?
No, I'm not.
What is so important on Monday evenings that you can't spend it with me?
Nothing.
Are you having an affair?
Yeah, okay. I was attracted to their smarts. I'm in love with their brains. They talk to me and are interested in what I have to say and what I do all day.
East West Audio Body Shop, no longer the best kept secret.
I didn't know you were into bald guys with mustaches.
Time now to take a look at the news. EWABS News.
All right, it's time for the news. And, well, let's see what's going on this week. Well, first off, I got to announce Studio Suit is almost gone. Believe it or not.
Hey, Zurich left his mic here. He might want it.
Yeah, run after him, quick. Get him. Newsflash, Zurich left his mic.
Zurich left his mic. It's going on eBay.
Everybody wants one of them 416 guys. Let's see. If you want Studio Suit, we're gonna have to have a lottery for it because we're down to the last few of them after I did a run of about 70. And, so I appreciate everybody that has purchased it and of course using it and loving it because it solved all their problems. Whether I manufacture anymore is another question altogether.
Limited edition.
The limited edition. That's absolutely correct. So, if you want Studio Suit, it may be gone unless I decide to make some more. Although I think once I get to California, I may, you know, produce them, you know, individually, maybe custom make them.
Custom make them,
with really nice fabric.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what goes into those things. So you could have them custom stitched with the color of someone's choice. Cool.
Right. And my new neighbor is a costume designer. So I'm figuring she has some really nice sewing machines.
Right on.
We'll see how that goes. All righty. There's this other one here about this phone patch thing. Did you see that one?
I don't know what's going on here. I lost a bunch of my pat tabs off my web browser, like a whole bunch of tabs. Oh, here they are. They're back. My tabs are back.
Yay,
tabs. Right, there's the news. Right. Okay.
All right.
Let's see.
Someone named Robert writes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi guys. Love your show. Wanted you both to look under the hood and give your thoughts on this new virtual tool for phone patch, VO recording and such. It's for Windows, but think of it as a Soundflower on steroids. Thoughts?
And there's a link to it here?
And there's a link to it. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, here's a substitute for a phone patch. I still find the best substitute for a phone patch is a phone. You know,
right.
So,
what a concept.
I've made virtual a lot more money with a phone than I have with a phone patch. Trust me, I know.
This virtual mixer recorder for voiceovers. It says, yeah, it doesn't see that. It says just search for voice meter banana. Voice meter banana. That's what it's called.
All right.
Okay. Well, you know what? There's pools coming out all the time, and the bottom line is, if it's difficult to learn how to use, I'm not so I kind of shy away from software mixers. Okay.
Yeah.
When you're trying to adjust something on the fly, and you're having to take this from someone that knows from experience by trying to do this show live from a laptop. You know, when you're trying to get to something very quickly, and you're doing it with a mouse, it's much harder than having just a little mixer with a knob. So, you know, I try to stay away from the virtual mixers on the computers. But that said, you know, it may work for some of you. We'll have to check it out. I haven't had a chance to actually take a look at that video. So maybe next week I'll get the show.
You're a little busy. All right.
A little bit busy this week.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I've been busy too.
I know. You just got done your production.
Oh, yeah. We just did a run of The Music Man here in Buffalo. As you remember, I was in costume last week in the lobby of the Riviera Theater. But you guys, and I kept saying, I wanted to show you the inside of this theater, which was absolutely magnificent. And you can actually roll that now. Tell me when it starts.
Okay, you got it. I don't know if you can. Oh, I think I have it set so you can narrate. So let's see. All right, it's playing now.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the beautiful Riviera Theater in beautiful downtown Tonawanda, New York, which is like at the end of the Erie Canal. It's been around a long time. The theater was built in 1926, and it was built around this organ, which you're going to see the keyboard of for. The entire building was an organ.
Awesome.
And it was great just listening to it. And then the auditorium just filled up with people. We had great crowds all three nights. And did you see the set there for The Music Man? I got to.
I hope my dad is here watching in the chat room tonight. I haven't been able to look at the chat room tonight, but my dad would love that. My father helped restore a theater organ that's in the Phoenixville Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, which became famous for being in the movie The Blob.
With Klaus Kinski.
Yeah, when the blob comes and attacks the theater and comes gushing out of the front of the theater, that's the Colonial Theater.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to write a blog about this, and I'll sort of hint a little bit of what it's about, but because we were talking to Zurich about improv and stuff like that, and it's great to get back out on stage. It's been many, many years. I had a small bit part in the Pirates of Penzance about a year and a half ago, but I got a much better part here, and it's been like since like high school since I did this before, and it all came back. This is you're on stage, you don't get stage fright, you're well rehearsed, you know what you're doing, but it's fascinating to see how doing live physical acting is different from reading a script. And for the longest time while we were trying to learn our lines, I didn't see the action of what was happening on stage. All I could see in my mind was the script, because that's what we do as voice actors. And it was really a challenge until we got a lot more reps on stage and working together. And it was a great cast, just a wonderful bunch of people.
So you're saying your voice acting experience probably helped the process for you to
it helped. But I think the physical acting stuff will help my voiceover stuff a whole lot more too.
Cool.
And then the understanding that you're not trying to talk to the little old lady in the back row. And
yeah.
As you saw, it's a pretty big theater, but it was a great show. And the part I had some very difficult lines you know, that where I
tongue
had
to twisters.
Well, they were tongue twisters, and I had to remember to take a deep breath before I would say them. You know, when I'm saying, you know, rights, where do you get any rights? Aiding and abetting the swindling activity. No, aiding and abetting the activities of a spellbinding symbol salesman. You know, it was, we all wanted to kill Meredith Wilson by the time we were done. Just so many, it was that kind of a show, but it was a lot of fun and a lot of people came to see it. And I know, and a couple of people watching tonight came to see it. Pat Sweeney and his family actually came down all the way from Toronto to see the show. And, I came out afterwards and there was his two kids sleeping next to, they lost it in the last third of the show. Fortunately, they have nice new seats in there and stuff, but
nice.
That was a lot of fun. So thanks everybody for that. Okay.
Some more questions here.
We have some questions, some actual questions, from the voiceover.
We get lots and lots of letters.
Okay. You can take the first question.
All right.
I've talked.
A voiceover colleague asked me today. Who is this from, by the way? We don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. A voiceover colleague today asked me if room tone that you paste in using Twisted Wave special paste should be mastered before you add it in files where the effect stack has already been run. My process is to normalize to -3 dB, run the effect stack, and then special paste the raw room tone. I've had great results. So far as I can tell, mastering the room tone makes it too quiet. Am I right? Well, I can answer that because this is the process that I actually do. So maybe it's directed to me. But anyway, no, you don't master the room tone because, this is something that's too difficult to answer in a blanket statement because everybody's process is going to be different.
Yeah.
But generally, you do not master the room tone itself. That's why it's room tone. It's just, it's supposed to be the sound of your room without anything done to it. That said, I'll qualify it with one thing. I will sometimes use a high pass filter on my room tone sample. Okay. So, because most people's room tone has some rumble in it. So if you high pass filter the room tone first, so there's no rumble, then you at least have a nice clean room tone with no rumble. And when you mix that back in and cut and paste it or whatever you do with your room tone, you don't add rumble back. So that I can say it is worth doing that at least to your room.
Yeah. And it depends on what your room tone is like. I mean, if you've got an 80 Hertz rumble in there from an air conditioner or, you know, a compressor across the street from, you know, somebody who's using air tools, it comes from all sorts of weird places.
Yeah.
Or your laptop next to your microphone.
I don't necessarily always recommend doing this room tone mixing process either. You know, it depends on your situation, but it is nice if you are, not to say you're a lazy editor, but if while editing you have a lot of holes in the room tone because you used the silence function or mute,
right,
and you didn't put room tone back, this is a pretty fast way to fix problems with the room tone by just mixing it through the entire track rather than copy pasting pieces of room tone all the way throughout the recording.
Yeah.
So it does work pretty well.
Yeah. And that's going to take me to, you know, we'll play it in a little bit, my tip of the week on overthinking things, because I think that entire question goes into the overthinking process. Our next question here. Hello, gentlemen. And I'm sure he uses the word loosely. I'm a newbie to your show, so I apologize in advance if these questions have already been addressed in a previous episode. That's never stopped us before. Since we get lots of new people and we just like to repeat ourselves anyway. Baby, it's cold outside, especially here in Buffalo, because we just got about an inch of snow here. Could you talk about how to properly store and maintain microphones and equipment as seasons change? Should a microphone be left on a stand when not in use with some kind of cover, or is it best to keep it in a box? Also, when it comes to traveling with gear, like on an airplane, can X-ray machines damage microphones or other equipment? How do you gentlemen travel with your gear? Loving the show and appreciate all your great tips. Thank you. Angie Scandale from Montreal, Quebec. Well,
it's a good question. Can I just start by saying you're overthinking it?
Yeah, okay. Just a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you want to store it out in your tool shed? Yeah. Maybe that's not a good idea in the winter, but, you know, really storing stuff, it depends on how much you use. I mean, if you're always using your stuff, it's just there. You know, I mean, you know, if you're in a big professional studio where you got a lot of guys smoking and stuff like that, yeah, like people still do that. Yeah, they used to have microphone covers and stuff like that. For the most part, it doesn't take a lot of maintenance. Dust it off and make sure it looks nice. This stuff is all solid state. It doesn't require a whole lot of atmospheric treatment. If you're in a big, expensive, billion-dollar television studio where it's really climate-controlled and all that stuff, yeah, you'll do those sorts of things. But you're in an extra bedroom here. You know, it's not that critical. What do you say, Mr. Whittem?
I'm wondering where I just heard a phone chiming. I thought I had my ringtone turned off, but I guess I didn't. I think the only thing that you got to be really careful about is, I would say, would be humidity changes. Maybe humidity changes could cause issues from time to time. So if you're in a really humid environment, that could possibly affect things. Because when there's condensation, you know, on the microphone's capsule or something, that could probably be an issue. But that's about the only thing. You know, keeping your mics dry and keeping them out of a really dirty environment, and then not dropping them is probably the best policy. If you were to take your mic on and off the mic stand every single day, your chances of damaging the mic are dramatically increased, because it's when you're putting the mic on and off the stand that you could drop the mic.
That is correct. So,
unless you're in a situation where your mic is unfortunately in a busy space where it just gets in the way and then could get tripped on or knocked over, I would say leave it on the stand, leave it on the mount, leave it wherever it is, and leave it on there all the time, because you're not going to not drop it if you're not moving it.
Right.
You can put a coat. Who made microphone cozies? Was that 2 or 3 years ago?
It was Amy Snively.
It was Amy Snively.
and she used the mic. Yeah, it was the mic cozy, and it, you know, and she used the mitten part, and you pushed it in. That was where you put your lip balm.
Right.
So, Amy could have come up with that one. Well, seeing as you're all overthinking all this stuff, I think it's time to throw in my tip of the week, and then we'll go to a break and we'll try and clean up everything here. In this less than 4 minutes, I will now cover everything we've ever talked about EWABS in this one tip of the week. So let's just roll that.
Here it is.
Okay, time for another rant. I'm finding that too many of you are overthinking the process of a home voiceover studio. All right, let me restate a few home studio masterisms. 1. The purpose of a home studio is not to make you sound great. It's to make you sound like you. What do I mean? Okay, if you're a professional voice actor, you already should sound great. Having quality audio is no big deal. A couple of basics and you're golden. I think what many of you are doing is trying to enhance your sound. If you don't know how, it doesn't make you sound great, but probably will do the opposite. But the fact is, any filters you might apply have to be minimal. They're all minor adjustments. Let me state another home studio masterism. 90 to 95% of the quality of your audio is dependent on your recording space's acoustics. Get your room acoustics right, and the rest becomes easy. That's why I harp on room acoustics more than anything else. A good condenser mic is a good condenser mic. If you use it right, you'll sound like you. No mic, no matter what the price, will help you interpret copy any better. Here's another. It's always best to physically eliminate or attenuate the cause of noise instead of electronically filtering it out. Those noise filters you guys keep trying to engage in Audacity and Audition and a few other programs are your enemy, not your friend. They really weren't designed for filtering out minor or even major background noise on a dry voice track. They're really for cleaning up interview audio that was recorded in less than ideal locations. It can rescue one of those, but it will destroy your sound. Let me demonstrate. Okay, let me record with a lot of background noise and watch what happens when we try to get rid of the background noise using a noise filter. Okay, let me record with a lot of background noise and watch what happens when we try to get rid of the background noise using a noise filter. We've talked about this before. There is no such thing as broadcast quality. Broadcast quality refers to the old analog standards, good enough to be on the old Huntley-Brinkley report.
The major contenders for the Democratic nomination are all here. Kennedy, Symington, Stevenson, Johnson, so are the dark horses, but there's little talk of dark horses here tonight. Rather, the speculation centers on what ballot Kennedy is going to walk off with the prize.
Digital recording is a whole nother ball of wax. Getting a good quality recording is now a snap. Good acoustics, proper input levels, proper mic technique. Don't let the rest of this geeky stuff intimidate you. Keep it simple. And that's my tip, or tips of the week. And we're back.
Yes, sir. We're back.
All right. Yes. See, I covered everything we've covered in 166 episodes in less than 4 minutes. Yeah, right. So just remember, don't overthink this stuff, guys. You know, it's like, well, what if I use one of these things? And what if I, you know, and I read in this blog that I have to use this type of an external, you know, preamp, and I got to spend seven, like, forget about it. Keep it simple and have fun. And don't sweat about these things. My favorite thing is, you know, the people that tell you to use this stuff are geeks, and geeks don't hire voice talent. And that makes it the simplest.
Right. And not many geeks are good voice talent either.
That's for damn sure.
Can do both well.
But lots of voice talent are geeks.
That is true.
That is true.
Color. Right.
Doesn't necessarily help them out, though. Anyway, Doug Turkel, how you doing?
Morning. I'm good. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing just great. Well, we'll talk with Doug in just a little bit. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So don't go anywhere. We're still here on West East Audio Body Shop.
We all agree that iTunes is one of the best ways to listen to music. Well, what if your voiceover demos could be presented the exact same way, where each clip inside your demo is listed as a clickable, playable track? Well, now you can, if your demo is presented with the interactive demo player only from VoiceXAM. In VoiceXAM, each track inside your demo is clearly titled for producers to view, select, and play. Now, we all know that producers will only listen to the first few tracks of your demos, right? But not on VoiceXAM. With VoiceXAM, producers can interact with your demo, clicking on what they want to hear. They'll stay longer, listening to all your voice work because they want to. Plus, with VoiceXAM's exclusive XAMtistics, you'll know exactly what they listen to, when, and for how long. So why not give producers a chance to hear all your voice work with VoiceXAM? Go to VoiceXAM.com and sign up now. Plus, get an exclusive 45-day trial when you use the promo code EWABS.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
And we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. Again, I'm a little farther west than George tonight, who's on the east coast of Florida, down in Miami, and joining us from the home of the one and only announcer, Doug Turkel. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here. We are having more fun tonight. Every night, what is the line?
Every about Apollo 13? Apollo 13.
Yeah. There was about four Apollo 13s in the hour before the show tonight.
Do tell.
Is well, that really? It's better when the Apollo 13s happen before the show. That's yeah, called show prep.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. And you know, very few people but you, Dan, and George could have figured out what it took to get the show on the air tonight. It was very impressive. I'll just say that.
Thanks, Doug. Well, I mean, Doug got to see how sometimes I just come in somewhat a little unprepared, but I realize that I'm unprepared enough to then prepare at the last minute.
Right.
And we pull the show off. And it happens. We do it.
And I happen to live really close to a Radio Shack.
Oh, yeah. That little detail. So
that helped.
And I made a completely useless stop at the Banjo Emporium.
Yeah, thank you.
To get something on the way here. Wasted a half hour at a Banjo Emporium, which was totally a waste of time. They had nothing I needed to solve my problem there.
And did you confuse the hell out of the guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, first I walked in and told him, do you have this? No. Do you have this? No. Do you have this? No. You have this? No. I'm like, well, I should just leave right now.
But what were you looking for? I mean, maybe he just didn't know they have it. I mean, they have just about everything there.
No, I mean, I was speaking of places that have everything. We're going to talk about that in a minute with Harlan, yeah. Harlan's VoiceOver Essentials. But I went in there just to get a simple device that would take, you know, stereo in, line in, you know, into my MacBook. That's all I wanted. Like a little Griffin iMic or a Behringer little USB to RCA thing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have anything like that. Mm. They had Scarlett 2i2s and they had, you know, much more complicated gear. And I just wanted one of those things. Anyway, but if you go to the right place, don't go to Guitar Emporium, whatever those places are called. Don't go to those places. Go to Harlan Hogan's voiceoveressentials.com.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to get like the runaround. Now, I'll tell you, let me be honest. The kid tried to help me. He really honestly did. But they just didn't have what you needed. And they have stuff that musicians need.
That's right.
Harlan has stuff that voiceover actors need. Yeah. So it's a great one-stop shop. And he's got a really nicely curated store. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff is his own product that he's invented. We all know the VO1A voiceover microphone. Which, by the way, I heard a great mic shootout from one of my clients. He had 7 mics in the shootout.
Oh.
And his mic and the Rode NT1, the new Rode NT1, were about tied for first
place. Harlan's and the Rode?
Yeah. They both, of all the mics we tried, we were the most impressed with the way that mic sounded on that actor.
Right.
You know, it's in not a perfect mic for everybody. But it really is. It really, it's, I keep coming back to that mic, you know, because there's so many new bikes that distract mm-hmm. you. And you're like, well, this new one and this one. But then when I hear the VO1A again, I go, oh, yeah, that is a good sounding mic. I forgot. So, you know, check it out. At its price, it's very competitively priced.
Yep. Good, solid, dependable.
Yeah. And the company that makes it is MXL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made overseas, but their headquarters are in El Segundo, California.
Yeah. And George so and I got a chance to go in their facility, which was we're going to present the interview with the guy there one of these days.
We got video in the can. It's way deep down in the archives. We got to get it out so you guys can see it. But when they have a repair, it doesn't ship overseas, or whatever. It goes to El Segundo, and a guy in a little technician shop fixes that mic.
With it's a Russian name. Yeah.
Yes, one dude. But that, so, I mean, that tells you something. I mean, that means a lot of those mics are not needing repair.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally very reliable. They're really well made. And it's a great option. If you've been playing around with a USB mic for a long time, you want to go up a step to something more professional. You can plug into a mixer. And, you know, especially if you have to start doing ISDN or whatever, you know, that's a good problem.
So I shouldn't still be using a USB mic is what you're saying?
Well, you know, you guys know me. I'm actually a pretty big fan of certain USB microphones, but no, there's a certain point where you need to kind of graduate because you need a little bit more flexibility. And having a real XLR professional condenser mic mm-hmm. is probably going to be the way to go. So that's a good one to try.
Yeah. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. Harlan just sits there all day in front of his computer, just doing all this stuff. Doesn't have to do a voiceover. Just hangs out in front of there and answers all your email and runs the whole thing, you know, manually. No, it's a great place. It runs really well. Their customer service is tops. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy your voiceover stuff there because they know voiceover. Thanks, Harlan.
Tell Harlan we sent, and this is the way you can tell Harlan that we sent you, is go to ewabs.com, and when you visit the page, click on the little banner ad down at the bottom.
Right at the bottom, where you see Harlan talking into his porta booth.
Yeah, and that way they'll know that you came through our site. There's no, you know, there's not an affiliate link. It just lets them know that he came, that we sent you.
So, right.
Thanks again, Harlan.
Thanks, Harlan. Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, jerry-rigging things and adapters. You know, when you're a demi geek like me, you carry every adapter known to mankind.
Where were you about an hour and a half ago?
I was in a snowstorm.
That's what we needed.
That is better inventory. Literally. I am not kidding. That is better than the inventory at the Radio Shack.
Yep.
Where do you think all this stuff came from? About 20 visits to Radio Shack.
You emptied them out. That's why they don't have it anymore.
I have a tray a lot like that back about 3,000 miles away where it's really handy.
It's your entire car is filled with these things. Anyway, yeah. So, all right. Well, it sounds like you guys are having fun anyway. What have you been up to, Dougie?
I've been working. This weekend we were over in Fort Myers for the VO Mastery event. Came back this morning to some screaming MMA commercials and car spots.
Oh my gosh. You're doing MMA stuff and thrashing your voice on car spots.
And when those were done, I had casino spots to do, which are pretty much just like car spots.
They're really heavy.
Yeah. That's a whole industry unto itself these days.
Yes, I've heard some of those spots. You working with Cliff at all?
Yeah, a little bit. On the car stuff, not the casinos or the MMA. Yeah.
Right.
MMA is sort of a new world for me, and it's not in my usual vocal range, as you might guess.
Yeah, that's right.
But this one producer who likes my stuff asked if I could do it, and I tried it. Very different sound for me, but it's a lot of fun. It just doesn't feel so good at the end of the day.
Yeah. I'm racking my brain. I feel out of the loop. What does MMA stand for?
Mixed martial arts.
Oh, mixed martial arts. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right.
Boxing,
right.
Fighting,
yeah.
Screaming is basically what it is.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's out. No, he's not.
Yeah, sounds like that.
Yeah. Not enough blood. No, boom. Mixed martial arts. That's true. So what are your plans for the future? Doing the auditions and doing all that stuff? Any new marketing cool things you want to tell us about? Or are they a secret?
Yes, marketing new cool things. Not that I want to tell you about specifically, right. Not just yet.
Yeah.
No, I've got a couple of cool projects in the works that you will hear about very soon, hopefully. Is that a good tease? No.
That is a good tease. Yeah.
Close enough.
Otherwise, I honestly, you know, auditions are part of what we do day to day. But my goal in doing my marketing is to audition as little as possible. Because a lot of people spend their entire day auditioning. And at that point, whether you get the work or not is completely out of your control. You just have to hope that you sound closest to what the producer already hears in their head and that they're going to book you. What I would rather do is market myself to people who are looking for voice talent. And then when they need someone who's in your range, you're on a much shorter list for that gig. Maybe it's just you. Maybe there are two or three other guys they know of who they might listen to or talk to for that particular gig, but they're not going to send it to a P2P or put out a casting and get 50 auditions. So I try not to spend much time auditioning, except for the better gigs, of course. And I use that time to market myself to people with whom I have a much higher ROI.
Yes. Well, that makes sense. I think most of us that have been doing this a while realize that. It's like you see an ad, it's like, you know, that's way below my budget. If you don't shoot for the high stuff, it's like being in Vegas. If you don't roll big, you're not going to win big. So
yeah, because the only other way to do it is to make it up in volume. If everything you're doing is a $100 job, $150 job, sure, you can build a career on that. But I don't know. I've never sat down to do the numbers, but I can't imagine how many auditions you have to do to book enough $100 jobs to make a living.
Yeah,
right.
You know, those numbers are probably astronomical. And there might be some people who do it. I mean, there are some people making pretty big money from what I understand.
Fiverr.
Not on Fiverr. I don't think they're making big money.
They don't sleep. They work 36 hours a day. But
right.
That's called trash for cash, or whatever you call it. Churning and burning.
Those are nice terms for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely quantity over quality.
I think it's impossible to turn that into an income, into a full-time income.
Nice place to cut your teeth, maybe. I don't
know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you've been very critical of one of our friends, the pay-to-play sites. Now, we don't have to get into the hefty controversy, but we're seeing more and more evidence that people are getting a little upset with some of the practices at this place. And, I publicly left them a couple weeks ago to apparently lots of fanfare. You've not been silent about your thoughts about them at all.
No, I haven't. And like you said, I'm not going to go into the details here, but the problem, well, I don't mind vocalizing my opinion about it. You know, a lot of people know how I feel. If you don't look my stuff up online, you'll find it pretty quickly. But the thing is, no, if 90% of the skilled voice talent out there feel the same way that I do, and they're not going after those low paying jobs on the P2Ps, that's not going to hurt the P2P, because there are still enough people who will do those jobs at those low rates that the P2P's clients, the voice seekers, are still going to find someone to voice their stuff. You know, there is no possible way, it's just not realistic to think that everyone is going to say, you know what, your rates are too low, we're not going to do that work. And unless that happens, it's not going to.
Yeah.
Then the P2Ps will continue to work. I just think, and I have nothing against the P2Ps. Like you said, I just don't happen to agree with some of their practices and think that they're much more efficient and much more much better business decisions they could be making that would benefit both the sites and the talent. And it's just frustrating that they seem not to know. And when it's pointed out to them, they tend to ignore that input. They ask for input. And when they get it, if it's critical at all, even if it's constructive criticism, they ignore it. That's the frustration for me.
I guess that's the issue. I mean, when I said the fiber thing, cut your teeth thing, that therein lies the problem, right? But I guess because, like you're saying, yes, a lot of these pros like yourself are going to not use the service, but there's plenty of people who will then fill in,
right?
And fill in, and that is dragging down the quality of the work that's going on.
Well,
there, and dragging down the rates, possibly. I guess.
That is part of it, but another part of it is that there are very skilled, very professional, very experienced voice talent who are selling themselves really short on projects on the P2Ps. So things, a project that's in that $250 to $500 range, there are really skilled talent who are bidding at the bottom of that range, some of them even below the range when they can do that. And, you know, that's okay if that's their business decision, if that works for them.
Yeah.
I can't really fault them for making that choice. But all I think they're doing is teaching the clients, the voice seekers, over time to pay less and less for professional voice talent. It adds to the commoditization a little bit at a time, admittedly. But over how long have the P2Ps been around now? 10 years?
Yep. Absolutely 10 years.
So 10 years from now, people are going to be accustomed to paying significantly less if this continues. What I keep trying to point out is that if the sites made it impossible for you to bid near the bottom of that range or even bid below the range, if they took the ranges out completely, what you end up with is a single price point that everyone submits their audition at. Either you like the price, the rate, or you don't. And at that point, the decision by the client is made based on the read, based on the talent, based on the skill. It has nothing to do with your rate, because then they don't find the person who is good enough but the cheapest, they pick the best voice.
Right.
That would be, I think that's one of the solutions that could help solve the problem.
I totally agree. You know, it's, you know, I hate it being an auction. You know, I sometimes compare it to
being a reverse auction.
Right. It's like being a paving contractor.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I can pave this piece of road for half the price as this other guy, you know, but you know, there's just no room for any graft in there, you know?
Right. But as long as there are pavers who are willing to do it cheap,
right,
then the more experienced and better pavers are going to have a hard time finding work. And over time, they're going to have to drop their prices as well.
Right. Yeah.
That's the unfortunate.
And then it becomes, it's not sustainable.
Right.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. You know, exactly. I tend to think, and maybe because I'm just such an optimist, that you know we're still talking about two different worlds here. That there is still very good paying stuff, and that if you start to hire people who really aren't qualified or are not going to put out the quality of audio for low prices, that eventually people are going to catch on and go, I still want a quality product, and they're going to be willing to pay for it. And there's still going to be more work than less work in the future. We're just in such a growing industry.
Yeah, there is plenty of work. There's no question about that. And there's more work than ever before. And that's going to continue for some time. But the issue I take with your argument is that there are still far too many highly skilled talent who are willing to work for those low rates. I think they're doing themselves a disservice on some smaller level. I think they're doing the whole industry a disservice, even though that's kind of a grandiose comment to make, you know, but with everyone having access to those same jobs, then, like I said before, the rates are just going to drop lower and lower and lower. And there's no way to stop it if the P2Ps aren't willing to step in and make some small changes.
Right. Or somebody comes in with a better P2P or perhaps a free-to-play. Maybe
what a
site
concept
run,
that is.
Yes. Maybe a site run by voice actors as opposed to people trying to commoditize voice actors.
Where did the idea for a site like that ever possibly come from?
I don't know, but I think it came from close to that living room.
I think I was in another room at the time. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to see the reality of that very shortly. So, but Doug, I never get to hang out with you enough, but it's always great to have you on the show, which you avoided doing for years, and now you've been on like three times in the last 6 months.
He's bumped the cherry now. Now he's like, oh, okay, I'll come on. What are you going to do?
See, we need more talk like that.
George is in my house. Well, I can't say no.
Well,
I might get to come back again.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're getting towards the end of the show here. And so first we have to thank Doug Turkel for letting us use his living room.
Anytime.
Right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Really kind of you.
And thank you for your honesty. Now, what do we got coming up here? First off, we have to thank our donors. You guys are fabulous. It helps us do the show from all over the world. Like last week I was in a theater. George is in Florida this week. How do we continue to do this show from all over the place? Because you guys want it and you help us out with your donations for making the equipment better and paying for the broadband, which of course is paid for by your employer, Edge Studios.
We haven't had a show off. We haven't had a dark night, so to speak, in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not because we don't want to take a night off. It's because
You're addicted.
To us. We're addicted to you.
We're way beyond that. This is episode 166.
It's like when Dan's like, I got to do a show. No big deal. I'll get a guest host. You know, we'll figure out a way to do it. I can't not do the show.
Is it that you can't afford the therapy? I mean, what's the problem?
That's right.
Well, that's part of it. You know, yeah. I mean, last week, I still had to be on this show.
You just couldn't get away.
I could not get away. We have
a cadre of regular donors now. Some of you have subscribed on the website. Is that a real word?
A good word.
Oh, thanks. and you guys that have been signing up, we appreciate it. You can go to uabs.com and there's a donor section. And if you want to just get on a recurring donor sponsorship, you can do it for $1, $5, $10, you know, or just a one-time payment. But it just gives us that little extra boost. So that, you know, maybe next year when Dan moves to Los Angeles, we can kick it up a notch. Some new lighting and, you know, really, you know.
Well, we're certainly upgrading the studio. That's for sure. That's going to be really cool.
Thanks
for all you guys for doing that. And if you want to donate, right above Doug's head, if you're watching on our website, is a donate button. You can just click that button and it'll, you know, you can donate what you want through PayPal, and that's we really, really appreciate that. Our YouTube channel, we got a lot of stuff on there. There's 166 episodes on there, and there are people who write to us and say, man, I just found your show. I'm up to episode 28. You know, how long is it getting? You know, it's like they're watching, you know, the replays on Showtime. You know, you got to watch an entire season and, you know, in one sitting.
Binge watch.
Binge watch. We apparently have some binge watchers.
Maybe if you're infirm for a month, you can binge watch all these episodes.
Yeah. So, but you really, but you can watch them all. So go over to youtube.com/ewebs show. Two S's, not like our email address.
And if you can't find it on eWebs, it's on eWebs.com. We have a link at the top just for YouTube.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier. The podcast, the podcast is now right below the player on our website. You can go to our website and you can find all this crap. It's real easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm dabbling with the idea, and I've been too busy to really try it, but I'm going to try a new thing called Mixlr. Mm-hmm. And what Mixlr is going to allow us to do is to broadcast the audio version of the show. Yet another way people can join the show. So if you want to be here live, but watching the show is going to be a problem for you, we're going to do an audio version.
You just can't get enough of yourself.
Never.
No. I know. I'm obsessed. Dan, do you sit up and watch the show after the show ever?
No. Usually I watch it at breakfast the next morning just to see how it opens.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see how the transitions work. And then I go, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, I admittedly.
I gotta drive Jacob to school. He doesn't want to ride his bike when it's snowing. You know, it's.
I'll watch a portion of the show to see how.
I fast forward through it for the train wrecks. That's all I want to watch. That's the fun part.
It's like NASCAR. People want to see a wreck and then get out and wave and see you're okay.
That's right.
Maybe that's our new thing. Not just Apollo 13. It's like NASCAR.
All right.
Amy Golan, my wife, has she's got a link at the bottom of the ewebs.com. It takes you to Narrator Helper. If you're looking for help with doing long form work where you need someone to pre-read your book, proof your recordings, edit, master, she does it all. It's a great service. She's really great to work with.
I need someone to read my long form work, to voice it. Will she do that
too? Can she voice it? I've trained her on the other stuff. The voice coaching part, we'll see. That's going to be a while.
Yeah, we go on over there.
Movember.
It is Movember, which I am not allowed to participate in. So I just like, we've got our group, the Movo team, and I just send them $50 and, you know, and I'm good for another year.
You've paid your dues.
You've relieved your guilt.
I gave my mustache Sadaka for the year.
One of my clients I saw today, Amy, her name is Amy Victor. She had a big furry mustache she stuck on her face, and she did a selfie with me for Movember. But if you want to support the team, we're team 1579149 on the website. So if you go to Movember.com and search for 1579149 or just Mo-VOs, You'll find the team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of mustaches, when I was doing the Music Man, we were back in the dressing room, and we had some very young kids in this show. It made it very authentic looking. And there's this one kid, I never talked to him, and I was reaching over him to get something, and he goes, "That mustache is real." I'm like, "Yeah, you want to tug on it?"
Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't notice before? November 24th, our next show. I believe our friend Mr. Hogan will be with us.
I believe so.
Yes, Harlan Hogan will be our guest. And yeah. And we'll have some more stuff as the holiday season starts to roll in upon
us. Yeah, we're going to have another roundtable. I think we're trying to figure out which one we're going to do. We've done a lot of different roundtables, and it's time that we bring one of our old roundtable topics back. So.
And get
you
some
guys singing. go online and tell us which roundtable you'd like to hear again. You know, we'll do that one next because we've got so many. We've got the acting
audio masters, acting
roundtable masters. What else?
Marketing, social media. What else have we talked
demo,
about?
Demo
Your next derby. One should be a roundtable, and you have one person from each discipline.
Ooh,
I'm totally kidding.
A smorgasbord of roundtables.
Yeah.
So, meta roundtable.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, thanks a lot to all the sponsors who brought the show to you guys tonight. Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, and it's not in the notes, but I think I can remember, Bob Merkel.
And VoiceZam.
Yes.
Use it. It's fabulous.
Yes. Great product.
Indeed. Yes.
Please like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @ewebs_show. And, of course, subscribe and like our videos on YouTube. Like them a lot. Of course, we'd like to thank our wives for once again putting up with this, and Doug's wife for putting up with it tonight, too.
Oh, there's a lot of wives.
Yeah, thank you, Gigi.
Future wife of Zurich, who is here tonight, too.
Yeah, Georgia. Really.
Yeah, lots and lots of wives.
Yes. Our wonderful producer, Kathy Curden, Anthony Getting for another marvelous job in the chat room, getting the questions across to us. Jack DeGolia for doing some fabulous work. If you want to know what's happening, read the show notes on YouTube. And are they on the website, too?
The show notes haven't made it to the website. We got to figure out a pipeline to get the show notes to the website.
Okay.
They're all on YouTube.
They're all on YouTube. So if you want to find out where something is, it's right there. And Tim McKean has been working on our EWABS essentials, of which there are more. And of course, the amazing Lee Penny for getting the podcast together every week. So you can listen in your car and not have to watch us and scare yourself as you're driving down the highway. Anyway, that's going to do it for us for, now, what this week is East Body Shop. George, you're going to be home next week?
I'll be home late Tuesday night. So I'll be back like usual next week.
All right. And I'll be right where I always am. And Doug will still be watching from his
living room. Same
here. All righty. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard, always in the East for the time being.
And I'm George Whittam in the West, except for this week.
And together, all of us are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Good night. Peace.
Aloha.